he said. If I had to pay, it would cost £3,000. So I took the money instead. I looked at him. He seemed quite normal, but then he always looks like that. Are you going to wait for Gladys? I said. No, he said. I don't want to spoil her fun. We've still got time, I said. If we hurry, what for? He said, and I knew he was a goner. Come on, I said, fetch your lead. I'll take you along by the river. They won't find you there, and if they do, with any luck, it'll be too late.
Michael Williams as Rob Wilton, viewing the world of the 1980s from his 1940s perspective in I Should Say So. The script was written by Alan Sadler and the producer was Brian Miller. Next week, can Clara be prevented from playing Peter Pan?
Listen now to the sound of superiority!
Hello!
Extracted from the archives of comedy and gilded in gold.
League Against Tedium in the Aria.
Simon Munnery
in the Aria.
Thought. The truly beautiful are often abused for apparent ugliness. Just as those with great vision often bump into things.
The League Against Tedium.
Oh, I do apologise. Apologise.
On Radio 4 Extra, in Thursday night's Comedy Club at 11.
The digital station for comedy, drama and entertainment. BBC Radio 4 Extra.
Now to this week's Ambridge Extra, in which Lillian makes a bad mistake.
Is it a boat ride?
Nearly right.
Come on, tell me.
Oh, but that would spoil the surprise. You'll just have to wait to find out.
What does Tanya really do?
Oh, the thing my sister does best is buy clothes.
No, really. She's so busy all the time.
Tanya is what we call the head of the family. I was lucky she agreed to do it. It's really hard to get someone that good who you can trust so completely.
What does head of the family mean?
You're so warm. Well, it means that she manages everyone else so I don't have to. She tells me what they're doing and what they need so I can make decisions.
Everyone else? Who's that?
Bankers, brokers, accountants, lawyers, art dealers,
wow.
Estate managers, contractors, security in London, Russia and the US. Brenda?
My little 500 quid investment looks even more tiddly now.
Hey, Krushka, come here. I'm still me. Still Dima. None of this matters between us, does it?
Oh, for Pete's sake, can't we talk about something other than the wretched phone or the contract just for 5 minutes?
I've got another lead on my money, Lillian. Don't you care?
I do, yes, but you've talked about nothing else. And a food hall isn't the time or place. Now, do you think Jenny would like this? I mean, her own's so delicious.
What is it?
Well, what does it look like, Pate?
Oh, how should I know? Look, the point is, if Tatiana thinks Robin's bent, a contract could be worth something after all.
It's so you keep saying, but it could just as easily be just as bogus.
Tatiana didn't give me that impression. I just wish she'd hurry up.
Tatiana this, Tatiana that. Matt, you've got to at least try to keep some sort of balance, some sense of proportion. You know, if you want something to do, Amside needs attention. Matt, what are you staring at?
Keep your voice down.
Dima?
Well, I don't know.
You've been ages.
Well, we need to know how many before we can make a joint offer.
Dima?
Well, if you don't want to put pressure on the tender, perhaps another broker will. All right, then. Oh, and don't forget I'm throwing in that extra 500. Brendan? Oh, sorry that took me so long. Were you listening?
Sorry, I... Well,
if you wanted to hear me chat to my broker, you should have just come straight in.
Right.
It's who?
Leonid Kedrov. What's he doing in London?
Is he the man who took you in after that dreadful prison?
Matt, is it you? Matt Crawford?
Leonid, this is an unexpected pleasure.
My dear friend, how are you? Fully recovered, I hope?
Couldn't be better, thank you. This is Lillian Bellamy.
Miss Bellamy, a pleasure.
Mr. Kedrov, thank you so much for looking after Matt in St. Petersburg.
What brings you to London?
Oh, the usual business, and the shopping, of course.
You enjoy gentleman's relish, I see. Quite a basket full.
It's my little treat. But it's so difficult to find in Russia. Like a good hotel in London.
Look, we should get off.
Really? Are you having trouble finding a good hotel in London?
The truth is, since my top two choices are fully booked, I prefer to commute to my London office.
From Russia?
No, from my English estate.
Oh, I see.
Look, I don't like to...
And where's that?
Sorry, but it's a chore. I'm seriously considering buying a flat in town.
Oh. Well, I'm in a very nice little hotel, the Lewis in W1. Do you
Lillian?
Know it? What? What is it, Matt?
I'm monopolising your time, Miss Bellamy.
Lillian, please.
My card, Lillian.
Thank you.
Matt, I hope we can all meet again. Perhaps for a drink.
Yes, but we'd like that. Really, Matt? He looked after you at your lowest ebb.
Look, don't you think it's time you went home?
Well, I can have a rest at the hotel later.
No, I mean to Ambridge. The business needs you. No point hanging about here with me, is there?
Are we going anywhere in particular?
Have you not heard of the Hampstead Heath Ponds?
Of course. Oh, Dima, how wonderful.
Looks as if it's quiet. Good. Come on. Shall we set up here? Beautiful view.
Mm. I'm dying to see what's in the hamper.
Well, all the usual treats with...
Oh, a tiny vase of flowers and a tablecloth.
So, time for a swim then?
Well, why not?
Look, hang on a minute. Coming. Leonid!
Lillian, my apologies. I see I've disturbed you.
Well, I, just stepped out of the shower. I'm sorry, I thought you were Matt. He's not here.
Actually, it's you I want to talk to.
Me?
Oh, forgive me, but I was shocked, Lillian, to see Matt looking so thin and worn. I know he's too proud to ask for my help again. So I've come to ask you, is there anything I can do for Matt as a friend?
Oh, you're very kind. Can I offer you a cup of tea? Come in.
Oh, thank you. You must be very worried about him yourself.
Oh, I'll just move these. Do sit down. Tea or coffee?
Earl Grey, if you have it. Thank you.
I don't know if there's anything you can do exactly, Leonid, but it's very sweet of you to ask. He really isn't himself.
Where is he now?
Oh, well, you know, out and about, talking to contacts, lawyers, the usual.
He's busy.
You don't know the half of it. He's always worrying about that damn contract. Is it worth anything? Is it not worth anything? Who's the latest person to check it over? Doesn't stop. And he's on and on about a wretched phone, over and over. Sugar?
This is just gorgeous. It's warm.
Look, we're sharing the water with the ducks.
Yes. This is blissful. Oh. Dima? Dimitri? Where are you?
Let's go back. I've got an idea I want to talk to you about.
Would you like another cup of tea?
No, thank you. I'm fine. I'd love a proper drink. Would you?
Well...
It's lunchtime. We could have a cocktail in the lobby bar. What do you think?
All right. I'd love to. Just let me change. I won't be a minute.
What's your favourite?
Favourite what?
A cocktail. Mine's anything but vodka.
Obviously. I usually drink G&T. I prefer sour drinks, really.
Me too. It shows we have good taste.
You're so right.
Why don't we go to that designer hotel? You know, the one off Oxford Street. They do superb cocktails there.
I know the place you mean. Wacky furniture. I've seen it in the Sunday mags.
Da! Not sure.
Nearly ready. Sorry to keep you.
No problem. A glitch.
There. Just my shoes and we could be off.
Cheers.
Oh, lovely. So, come on. I'm all ears.
Oh, perhaps it can wait. We should just enjoy this beautiful day and not talk business.
Dmitri Dubrovin, now you have to tell me.
Okay. I'd like you to work with me.
Work with you?
PR. On a freelance basis. In St. Pete's and maybe London. I can introduce you to colleagues, contacts. We always need someone smart. What do you say?
Well, wow. I mean, that sounds wonderful. What an opportunity. But
what?
Well, would it change things between us? Change our relationship? I don't know if I'd want that.
Perhaps it would. A little. But I think we have to admit that my circumstances are unusual. I think that it would be unwise if we ignored the fact that
you're stinking rich.
Yes, as you say, that I am stinking rich. I know it worries you. And if you had some money of your own, if you were a little richer yourself, it would matter less, wouldn't it?
Matt, you're just in time.
What are you doing here?
Matt?
I was just about to take Lillian out for cocktails. Of course you must join us.
We've already decided on martinis.
Lillian, I need to talk to you.
Oh, well, why didn't you come along then?
I don't think so.
Lillian, Matt is a busy man. He needs you. I understand.
Oh, Leonid.
Please don't worry. Let's all go out for drinks another time. Goodbye, my dear.
I'm so sorry.
No problem. Come on, get in the lift.
Let go, Matt. Oh, really? What's got into you? Leonid has been a good friend to you. Helped you when you were down. You repay his kindness with such rudeness.
Be quiet, can't you?
Anyway, what's the harm in a cocktail? Oh, I see. He was asking us both, Matt, not just me. You heard him. So embarrassing.
Right.
You're just unbearable when you're like this.
Shut up. Please just shut up.
Matt!
The phone, Lillian, where is it?
The phone, the wretched phone. It's perfectly safe. You're being paranoid.
Where is it?
Locked in the desk.
Right, get it out.
No.
What?
Not until you calm down. You're being preposterous.
Just get me the goddamn phone.
Matt. Here. What is it? What's the matter?
Did you let him in here? Did you leave him alone in here?
Look, he must be there. Let me see.
How did he know? He didn't know I had it.
I must have put it somewhere else in my case.
You told him, didn't you? You mentioned it to him. Lillian! Did you leave him alone in here?
Yes, I did, but only for a moment while I got changed.
Oh, God.
Pat, you're scaring me.
I've told you again. We can't trust any of them. For God's sake, Lillian. Everything linked to the deal was on that phone.
Hi, Brenda. Is Dima up?
Oh, Tanya, hi. You're early.
Not really.
Any coffee there?
Tanya, told you I'd be on time.
Oh, in your office?
Yeah, sure. Brenda...
Yeah, don't worry. I'll bring you some coffee.
Thanks, Brenda.
You all right?
Yeah.
What is it?
Is there any chance Tanya could call ahead? Tell us when she's on her way, rather than just be sitting at the table like that when we get up.
This is nearly empty. How much are you drinking?
Oh, for goodness sake.
All right, I'm just saying.
Here, sit down.
Matt, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, well...
Letting Leonid walk off with a phone like that. I thought he was a friend.
Yeah, well, none of them are friends where money is concerned. I can't figure out why he would want the damn phone anyway.
So let's go and see him, talk to him, get it back.
Don't think so, Lillian.
Well, couldn't we at least try?
I think we should leave Leonid Kedrov well alone.
But I want to help.
Fact is, you can't. The only thing I've got to cling to is that Robin was lying to me. If he told me that my contract is worthless, then there's a good chance it really is worth something after all.
Is there any news on its value?
Lillian, you shouldn't be here at all.
What?
You should be back at home.
But I want to be...
Oh, yes. Well, hello, how are you?
Matt, I've got some news. Are you free later?
For you, any time.
I could see you about 12:30 at your hotel.
Oh, that sounds great to me. See you then.
Who was that?
Tatiana. Fingers crossed.
Dima! Phone's ringing! Dima! Tanya!
It's not for me, you two.
Привет, Борис. Слушай, информация, которую Таня получила из телефона Николая Бабарина вместе с контрактом Мэтта Крофорда, окончательно все прояснила. Таня, what's a takeover like this called in English again?
Creeping tender. We can get this, Dima. I'm sure we can.
Хорошо. План такой.
Robin, what a surprise.
Matt, how are you?
I'm well. To what do I owe the pleasure?
I was just wondering how you were doing.
Oh, yeah?
After your little disappointment, I'm sorry I couldn't be more helpful.
Oh, no, I'm not one to mope around. Check your facts, that's my motto.
Yes?
Always pays, in my mind.
Absolutely. Anyway, I'm going up to Scotland for a few days, my usual shoot. A hotel in Inverness. I wondered if you'd care to come. Sweeten the bitter pill, as it were.
Oh. That's very kind.
Well?
All right, why not? I take it we'll be talking business, too.
Business?
Yeah. I'll turn up a bit more information about that contract. Turns out someone else don't agree with your people. My new contact thinks it's good.
Really?
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
Matt?
Robin, I can't talk. Text me the details of that hotel and I'll see you in Inverness. Good. Tatiana! Dobry den.
Dobry den. Sorry I'm late.
Not at all. You look $1 million as usual. Sit down. How's it been going?
Let me tell you what I have so far.
Is it valid? Am I going to get anything out of it?
We can't tell yet. Your contract has been deliberately set up to be very confusing indeed. I've never seen anything like it, but I'm getting there.
How long?
A day, maybe two. The other thing I wanted you to know is that I am getting a copy of the forensic report.
Forensic?
Of the Barbarian murder.
How on earth can you get hold of that?
It's a bit expensive, but I should get it soon. When I have the report, I might be able to find out if there really is any connection between your deal and his murder.
So?
So, Lianyu?
Is he coming with you to your Scottish shoot?
He agreed, yes.
Good. So you can deal with him there, can't you?
Look, I don't think any of this is my responsibility. The way I see it, it's more your area. And anyway, if you'd kept your boy Vitali under control, none of this would have happened in the first place.
I had Vitali arrested.
But rather too late. Time enough for Crawford to get his foot in the door and proof from Barbarin's phone about, well...
You ordered that, Robin.
No need to get worked up.
And anyway, I got the phone back. That secretary was getting in the way. I had to deal with her.
Yes, I don't need to know that. I don't want to know. Anyway, now Barbarin has turned up again, hasn't he?
Crawford hasn't got the wit to download anything of importance from the phone.
Again? How can you possibly know that? So the thing is, I feel Mr. Crawford is your problem. It's not for me to put myself on the line. It's entirely up to you how you deal with him.
Now, I like it there.
In what's called
Ambridge. I have a good life there. When it's good, if you see what I mean.
I do.
Matt!
Lillian.
I wondered what you were doing for lunch. Tatiana.
Lillian, you look great.
You all right, Matt?
Fine.
Just you looking a little flushed.
Look, I'll be off. I'll call you, Matt, when I have more news.
Yeah, thank you. Bye then.
Bye. See you soon, Lillian.
Well?
So where are you going?
A meeting, a shareholders, brokers. I can't be late. If this goes well, I'll be able to complete in a couple of weeks.
I know everything, Dima.
Of course you do, Kroshke.
I know about what you're doing with the development. You're creeping tender. I know about you and Tanya using Matt.
What exactly do you know?
I heard it all. I picked up the kitchen extension. I heard you talking.
I see.
Dima, I have to ask you, is it you? Is it you pushing those poor people off their land? Is it you threatening Matt?
Look, don't get me wrong. I appreciate the work you do very much. But I think you'll agree it's me who provides the presentation, the public face. So, I'll find out the full extent of what Crawford knows up in Scotland, and then you can deal with him when I get back. Agreed?
You have been relying on me too much, my friend.
What?
It's time for you to do some work of your own.
Oh, no, look.
I insist.
Listen to me.
Robin. Robin, you need to make it up to me.
Leonid,
I have every confidence in you. After all, accidents can happen at the shoots, can't they?
Don't you see? If I win it, those people will be fairly treated, rehoused properly, a good price paid for their land. I saw it all for myself, remember? I visited with you and Matt, met them. That's when I made up my mind.
And how much will you make? Why can't you answer me? It's why you wanted to be with me right from the start. Just to win Matt's confidence. Oh, that contract, it means something to you too. Have you been using me to get to it?
Kroshka.
Tell me it's not true.
The teddy bear, that messed up bed, and now this trip to Scotland. God, I've been stupid. Why can't you just admit it?
Oh, that's rich coming from you.
Oh, that tells me everything I need to know.
Oh, does it? Does it really?
It's simple revenge, isn't it, Emma, over Paul?
Even now, you really don't get it, do you? Look, if I play my cards right, Robin might even buy my contract. Give me back what I put in. I could go home. Yes, home at long, long last.
It would make some sort of sense, Matt, if I believe that it really is Robin who'll be waiting for you there.
You know what, Lillian? I don't care anymore. Do what you like, think what you like, believe what you like. I'd like you to leave.
No. Don't you see? That's what I love about you. You're not polluted by all this. Don't let the money get in the way. Please. This is me. Us.
Dima,
Krushka.
Let go of me.
No.
So, Nikolai Babarin.
What about him?
Nothing. I've made you late.
That doesn't matter. You're more important than anything else.
Honestly, you should go. Go on.
Everything will be fine. You'll see.
Hello? Brenda?
Lillian? Can I come and stay with you? At your hotel?
Better? Oh, it's cleared the tubes. So, darling, let me get this straight. You're telling me that super wealthy, loved up Dima wanted you in order to get Matt's investment?
Well, yes.
It's ridiculous.
When you put it like that.
It's absurd. Oh, look at the two of us.
What do you mean? Is Matt okay?
I don't know. I've lost him, Brenda. He's going away with her Tatiana.
Tanya Dubrovna? Lillian!
Brenda, it's not funny.
It's not true either. Oh, Lillian.
How can you possibly know?
Look, with all respect to Matt, she's way out of his league. What made you think that?
They're as thick as thieves.
Yeah, she really does like him. I don't think she's met anyone like him before.
What? How do you explain his messed up bed? The teddy bear, the clothes thrown around in his room?
What? That's happened to you here in London?
Yes. Why? What's the matter?
Didn't Matt tell you?
Tell me what?
All right. The same thing happened to us in St. Petersburg. Little things wrong in your hotel room. It's horrible. It's a warning.
What do you mean?
It's what they did in Russia to scare Matt. To warn him off.
To what? That's why he moved hotels. I thought he was going mad. He never said.
He never told you about the murder either.
What? What murder? What are you talking about?
Nikolai Babarin.
The man Vitaly was buying the lamb with, yes?
He turned up dead at the development site outside St. Pete's. Matt asked me not to tell you. He didn't want you scared.
He's been protecting me. I didn't realise.
Yeah.
I had his phone in my hotel room.
You what?
That phone, Babarin's smartphone. Matt asked me to keep it safe in my hotel room, and I was careless. I allowed it to be stolen.
Oh, my God, Lillian.
He's been in terrible danger all this time. And I didn't know, Brenda. I didn't know.
No.
I've got to do something to help him.
Like what?
Well, there must be something.
Lillian, slow down.
But don't you see? I've made it so much worse for him. Oh, poor man. I've got to make it up to him. I'll get the phone back for him.
No, Lillian, please, stop and think. It's too dangerous.
But don't you see? It's the least I can do. I lost it, Brenda. I can get it back.
And Lillian tries to face down the enemy when the drama concludes on Tuesday and Thursday afternoons at 2:15, or catch up at this time next week. Ambridge Extra was written by Sarah Bradshaw and produced and directed in Birmingham by Julie Beckett. The editor was Vanessa Whitburn. Now, bumping into your ex is a commonly cited nightmare scenario, but doing so whilst on honeymoon with your new partner is positively disastrous. On Saturday, BBC Radio 4 Extra will be lighting the touch paper and reigniting old passions in Noel Coward's sublime comedy, Private Lives, boasting a stellar cast of Helena Bonham Carter and Bill Nye as old flames Amanda and Elliot. After discovering Amanda is honeymooning at the same hotel, Elliot is desperate to leave before his wife finds out.
But darling, please be reasonable. We only just arrived, everything's unpacked, it's our first night together, we can't go away now.
We can have our first night together in Paris.
We shouldn't get there until the small hours.
Now, please, Sybil, I know it sounds crazy to you and utterly lacking in reason and sense, but I've got second sight over certain things. I'm almost psychic. I've got the most extraordinary sensation of impending disaster. If we stay here, something appalling will happen, I know it.
Private Lives hangs its dirty laundry on BBC Radio 4 Extra on Saturday afternoon at 4.
This afternoon, a musical adventure brought to life by the Britain Symphonia.
So you'll hear the snow glistening away, you'll hear the reindeer racing across the sky. Have a listen.
A family concert from the BBC Proms, based on John Classen's story, I Want My Hat Back.
Where's my hat? Where's my hat? I had it on my head a moment ago. Where's my hat? Where's my hat? I had it on my head a moment ago.
A musical 4 o'clock show on BBC Radio 4 Extra. This afternoon at 4 o'clock.
The digital station for comedy, drama and entertainment. BBC Radio 4 Extra.
Now, Anne Perkins presents Great Inspirations. This week, the former Foreign Secretary, Lord Howe, reveals why he shares the former Sinn Féin leader Michael Collins' admiration for the political message of The Napoleon of Notting Hill, a comic novel by G.K. Chesterton.
Mr. Speaker, I believe that both the Chancellor and the Governor are cricketing enthusiasts. So I hope there's no monopoly of cricketing metaphors. It's rather like sending your opening batsman to the crease, only for them to find, the moment the first balls are bowled, that their bats have been broken before the game by the team captain.
Geoffrey Howe delivering the mortal blow to Mrs. Thatcher in the House of Commons in 1990. He thought that her hostility to every proposal for European integration was jeopardising Britain's future. She thought he was willing to see Britain swallowed up by a federal Europe. Howe, Foreign Secretary for 6 years, had wrestled on a daily basis with practical issues of nationhood and sovereignty. His early inspiration came from a comic novel about power and nationalism written nearly 100 years ago, G.K. Chesterton's Napoleon of Notting Hill.
I think it was such a zany book, with this extraordinary concept of deeply local patriotism, which the filmmakers of Passport to Pimlico captured some years later. And it gave one this concept of smallness being beautiful and effective. And I'd forgotten just how zany a book it was, but out of it, I seem to have distilled quite a lot of my own political insights. At least I like to think so.
The book is set in London in a future where everything's familiar but subtly altered. Chesterton foresaw an inertia which has turned democracy into an inoffensive despotism and confined war to the history books. The story begins with a new king being randomly selected from the official ruling class. He's Auberon Quinn, an irresistible, infuriating maverick who, on a whim, decides to make the boroughs of London into city-states.
The king stopped suddenly and his eyes shone. Perhaps, he said, perhaps the noblest of all my conceptions, a revival of the arrogance of the old medieval city is applied to our glorious suburbs. Clapham with a city guard, Wimbledon with a city wall, Surbiton tolling a bell to raise its citizens, West Hampstead going into battle with its own banner. It shall be done. I, the king, have said it.
The king's joke condemns the Lord Provosts of every borough, among other inconveniences, to go nowhere, not even to post a letter, without an escort of trumpeters and halberdiers. They comply grumpily, except one, Adam Wayne of Notting Hill. He's so fired with the romantic notion of the sovereignty of his suburb that he's ready to defend it to the death.
I fight for your royal vision, for the great dream you dreamt of the League of Free Cities. This leadership and liberty of Notting Hill is a gift from your majesty. And if it is taken from me, by God, it shall be taken in battle. And the noise of that battle shall be heard in the flats of Chelsea and in the studios of St. John's Wood.
There was this misunderstanding between the king who launched the idea and Adam Wayne who adopted it for Notting Hill. And somebody says, I think, that the king, Auberon, to him all life was a joke, whereas to Wayne in Notting Hill, it was an epic. You have this paradox, which is so Chestertonian, profound gravity on the one hand and exuberant folly on the other hand.
Geoffrey Howe, who was brought up in Wales, first read the book as a schoolboy at Winchester during the war. He and his friends were inspired to draft their own political charter. It was a time when people were fighting and dying for their countries and when the rights of one nation against another were a matter of mortal concern rather than academic discussion.
We were thinking about what the world would be like after the war, and we wanted to achieve unity. Unity in our own people, and I think unity amongst peoples of the world. But unity without uniformity was one of the slogans I remember from it, which really was subsidiarity in modern language. And I think Notting Hill is part of a larger whole. That was the thought there, anyway.
You also have both Welsh and Scottish influences. Did that give you an interest in the fate of small nations?